Call a special call meeting of Elk Ridge Board of Education to order. We have one item on the agenda tonight, and that is the adoption of the budget on second reading. So what we will do is we'll get a motion on the floor to do so, and then any discussion or comments or direction from the board and or the superintendent, and then we'll move forward and be through in time for graduation, which will occur on a beautiful Thursday evening, according to Mr. Eby, who's been forecasting the weather. So say I'm laying it on you right there. So do I hear a motion for approval of an adoption of the budget on second reading?
I so move.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Borchers, I'll go to you first to see comments.
Just double checking with Karen, and we've had no changes since the first reading. Excuse me. I know there were some follow-up questions that the board was given some information today, but nothing new from my perspective as far as what's being recommended for approval tonight.
Comments or questions from Ms. Marshall?
Yeah, I'm just going to dive right on in on some of the follow-up questions and the emails. I'm still not completely sure I understand the whys behind our teacher numbers and the way we're starting off the allocation. So if you will indulge me walking through that one more time and in the process flow overall. So how we get to where we are now, and then how we correct and when we correct and why we correct when we correct. So just... if you would indulge me, because I don't think I'm going to be satisfied until I understand a little bit better. So,
I'll turn to Dr. M, but I know we got Dr. Lee here that could help us as well.
Sure, not a problem. So what we have to do is we have to look at a K-3 allocation, and then we have to look at a fourth grade allocation. Those are actually two separates in the elementary schools. And then what we've analyzed currently what we have according to where we are with looking with the retirements and potentially not hiring. However, we are going to be looking at for the first 20 days of school, we're going to do frequent checks of enrollment to see where we are, and to see how we fit into the allocation amounts. And then Dr. Borchers and I will have ongoing conversations about that with concerning determinations and what we do moving forward. It's typical for school systems to do a 20-day population to kind of make your decisions by then and what you need to do and if you need to do any movements or changes. Anything after the 20th day really gets hard. It gets into instruction. And students are into a routine. True, they're into a routine the first week of school, but it's a whole lot better to make those determinations the first 2 or 3 weeks than make them a month later down the road when routines are really set into place.
Okay, so is that the first time we make that evaluation, or is that an ongoing process to get there, and then why at the 20th day?
It's an ongoing process to get there. We will do enrollment checks multiple times during that first 20 days. But generally, you generally make a change within the first 20 days. After the 20th day, it's not recommended to make that type of change.
But you use that process to set the numbers you have right now, right?
No, these numbers that we have right now are currently based off of projections and current enrollments that we have at kindergartens in various buildings. So it's a number that the state gives us that has longitudinal data built into the projection of the numbers.
So do you look at those numbers over the summer? I mean, could you look at them and say, wow, we have added 10 more kids, we need another teacher? And could you look at a different school and say their numbers aren't as big, so we can take a teacher from one school and move to the next school?
Generally, we won't look at them over the summer. However, if I do get kindergarten enrollment numbers over the summer, if the secretaries and the principals stay in touch with me, then we'll be able to make that determination a little sooner. But as far as first, second, third, and fourth grade goes, we don't have enrollment numbers. Sometimes we won't even find out the students have transferred until they enroll in a different school, maybe in a different system or in a different state, and we receive transfer paperwork to receive those students' records. So it's a little bit harder to do during the summer. It's easier to do when bodies are actually in the building.
I would just add too, and I'm looking at Dr. Henderson. I mean, many of these changes, unfortunately, we know the day of, the first day of school, all of a sudden, some parents will realize, oh, it's first day of school, and they're either there or not there. I know we have that line is long at our buildings on that first day of school and sometimes after. So it's hard until we really know if those bodies are going to be there or not.
And one of the things that I'm really excited about with starting the balance calendar and beginning at the beginning of August, as opposed to the middle or end of August, we do have some parent holdouts, so to usually hold out till after Labor Day. But since now that we start the first week in August, first, second, or third, getting that information out to parents to say, hey, don't forget, school starts, and getting them in the door is critical and important.
So can you explain to me, is there a perception among our teaching staff that once they're hired in one elementary school that that's theirs forever?
From my understanding, we've never had to look at population enrollments in Oak Ridge schools before. We've never had to do that. Pretty much where you're hired is where you are.
I think we need to change that perception now.
Okay.
You have a job in Oak Ridge Schools, mm-hmm. and your office may change mm-hmm. from one building to another, mm-hmm. but you still have a job.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And I think, just to add on to that, and I think that goes back, that comment goes back to our discussion that we had sometime earlier, I don't exactly remember when, mm-hmm. but of the necessity now to do an audit of our entire district mm-hmm. to just make sure our class sizes are balanced appropriately. Mm-hmm. And we know there's many different scenarios that can occur within the system, but I think, and that's something we probably, you know, need to set in action, not just now, but something that's reoccurring over ever so many years that we do that. Mm-hmm. And that gives us balance to say exactly what you're saying is we have 100 teachers, and I'm just using that number. We have more than that. We have 100 teachers, and we have 25 here, 25 here, 25 here, and 25 over there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what we need. We need 30 over here, 20 over here, and we have to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and this goes back many, many years, but in my mind, I was hired by the Oak Ridge schools to teach. Mm-hmm. That's what my contract mm-hmm. tells me that I was going to do. And then I was placed when I came to the placement that I had. Mm-hmm. There was nothing yeah. written in my contract that said I would be there for eternity.
Yes.
Yeah. I would be real careful of saying that Oak Ridge has never looked at the numbers, and because I believe back certainly in the 80s and the early 90s we did do that, and people were moved from school to school based on the numbers of how they rolled out. So
okay.
Yeah. Well, because ultimately we don't ever want a parent to come to us, a parent of a first grader, say, and I was one recently myself. I would hate to come home from have my child come home from the first day of school and hear that there were 22 kids in her classroom, and I'm talking to a friend at church and whose child is at another elementary school who has 13 in their first grade class. Mm-hmm. That is a very different student-teacher experience, and that doesn't represent us the way yeah. we would want to, because that is certainly not what we advertise, because the average is quite lovely. If you average those two, the experience is very different, and that's not equitable to our students or to our faculty. So
I think that needs to be put on our agenda. Agenda moving forward with the direction that we take with the Oak Ridge schools.
Not a problem.
Just two questions. One, you know, this time of year, rumors make the rounds, so I have to ask the question. Is there any plan to take teaching positions in any elementary school and convert the STEM coach to being a full-time STEM coach position rather than teaching and STEM coach at the same time?
Yes, there has been. I have approached the principals, and we've had conversation about that to see if that's something that they would be amenable to doing. Basically, what it's called is a model classroom position, where you have two teachers per room and they share responsibilities. They also could share STEM coaching responsibilities. Nothing has been solidified yet. It's just an idea that the principals and I have been talking about.
Okay. And the other is just my concern is if we get to mid-August, August 15th, August 20th, what's the available talent pool should we need to hire a teacher? My concern is that it might be a little shallow.
One of the things that Oak Ridge has been fortunate to have is most of our TAs are certified, and they are people waiting patiently for a full-time job. We've got some very well-qualified teaching assistants that could easily step in any of those roles and do a great job. So that doesn't bother me.
I'm sorry, on that note, we've talked a lot about that as an executive team. Our hiring process, even now, I feel we're behind the eight ball. We're very lucky to get great people, but in other states I've worked in, we're hiring in March, and you're getting it's a battle for the cream of the crop. If we got past, you know, middle of May, we felt as if we had missed an opportunity to get the very best staff. So I think in the future we're going to have to talk about, is there any way that we can move up our hiring process? Given our budget timeline, that's very, very difficult, but I think there might be some strategies we could use to perhaps move up our hiring timeline.
Yeah. And one of the things that's great, Jefferson Middle School had the opening for the sixth grade science. Mr. Cox received 96 applications from multiple states. So we want to keep that. We want to preserve that. But Dr. Borchers is exactly right. First come, first dib, best qualified candidates, and we want to keep that.
And therein lies the importance of some of the items that we have in this budget document that we're presenting and will present to the city, I think, to be able to continue to do that. Anyone else? Speak now or it's going on. Just a reminder of the schedule. On Monday at 7, we will be on the agenda to present. I'm looking at the mayor to make sure I'm correct in saying this, to present a brief overview of the budget. And this will be sent on to the city, Karen, tomorrow or Monday.
Basically, what they need is our bottom line number. So, yes, that number is sent to them.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, I know we haven't voted on it yet, but and unfortunately we're not on TV, but I would suggest the people who are here to get the word out. We did have some people, or at least one person here at the public hearing that expressed concern about our budget. I would fully expect that person and several others to be before the city council and be contacting the city council about that. I think, again, if you look at where the city stands, the surveys that have come out, the votes that have come out, that the city in general feels differently, but I believe that city council needs to hear that. And I would encourage people to encourage those to support this budget, if they do support the budget, to get that message to city council. I think that's important.
Motion on the floor is to approve the FY16 budget recommendation on second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank everyone. We'll see you at graduation. We're adjourned.